The passage that we are going to look at this morning made me very glad to be at Langford Community Church. Because in good times and in bad times, I know that we care for one another. I know that if any one of us was in need, there would be, within like a minute, a line of people who were willing to bake a meal or lend a hand to give some money to help out. We help one another. And that's something that the early church had to learn how to do. It didn't come naturally to them as it might to us. The first generation of Christians really had to learn by trial and error how to take care of each other. They came from very different backgrounds, from very different social settings. You know, they decided each individually to follow Jesus, and all of a sudden they found themselves side by side with people who had been strangers, and now they were family. And they needed to learn how to take care of each other. And they really did need to do that because, you know, some of them lost everything. They lost their families because of Jesus. They were disowned for following Jesus. They lost access to resources. They were persecuted because they became Christians. And so there was a very real need for the church to take care of each other so that nobody went hungry. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, Acts chapter 6, we see the church wrestling with questions like, how do we care for one another? How are we going to organize ourselves for that? Who spearheads it? We know, they would say, that fellowship and breaking of bread is important. Well, who is going to do that? Who is going to do the serving? Those are important questions for us to consider too. So let's look together at Acts chapter 6 and see where they landed. So Acts chapter 6, we'll look at verse 1. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. That's good. But the Hellenistic Jews, that is the Jews who spoke Greek, who were more culturally Greek than Jewish, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. That's bad. You know, every day after Peter's speech at Pentecost, more and more people joined the church, which meant that there were more and more people who needed to be taken care of. And church just wasn't just like a Sunday morning affair. You know, every day they gathered together to share resources and make sure that people were fed. And for some reason, the Hebrew-speaking Christians were receiving more than the Greek-speaking Christians. And so the disciples, the Greek speakers, went to the disciples to work it out. Now, I don't know if that was by accident or if it was racially motivated. You know, the Hellenistic Jews, the Hellenistic Christians would have given up a lot of Hebrew traditions, and that may have caused some conflict between them and the Hebraic Jews, Jewish Christians. And I think that this is an important point and a good opportunity for us to ask ourselves, are we excluding anybody as a church? Are there cliques within our congregation that imply that some of us are better than others? Do we play favorites in any way? Do we favor the needs of country folk over city folk or vice versa? You know, on a surface level, I'm not aware of that, and I'm very glad for that. Check your heart. Always important for us to stop and think, am I favoring one group or person more than others? It's important for us to guard against that so that we are caring for people equally. So there's this problem, there's this conflict within the church, and right away we learn another lesson. So lesson one, no cliques. Lesson two, when there's a problem, get at it. Don't just hope it goes away. The apostles take it on directly. They wade right into it. They say, let's work to make things right here. So verse 2, the 12, that is the apostles, the ones that walked with Jesus, they gathered all the disciples together and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. The disciples know that they have a very important job to do, one that can't be neglected. The disciples realize that they need to be teaching the disciples, the rest of the disciples, how to follow Jesus so that everything they do flows out of a maturing relationship with God. And so they say here, it is very important for us to keep on preaching and teaching the word. They also, though, say it is very important that people are fed, that serving ministry, that caring ministry is done. And so they say in verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you, men who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The apostles here establish a very important principle for the life of the church. Pastors need to teach. Their number one focus needs to be training disciples, training the other followers of Jesus to be indeed people who follow Jesus. Now, of course, pastors are going to be servants too. That's like job number one on my job description. But it is absolutely crucial that we don't get caught up in doing other things and so neglect teaching. That means then that the work of caring for one another, of serving one another, is the equally important responsibility of the church. That is the equally important responsibility of you, of the people. And this is actually where our word deacon comes from, right? When it says, it would not be right for us to give up preaching to serve tables, to diakono something in Greek. That's that word right there. And it's not like serving tables like you're a waiter at Swiss Chalet or something. What they're really saying is we need somebody to diakono, to serve, to spearhead this serving ministry, to make sure that people's physical needs are being met. And so they say, let's appoint deacons who will spearhead our care ministry and make sure that everyone is equally taken care of. And you can see from the names of the men that they chose that they were really serious about this. You know, those are all Greek names. Stephen, we'll see him later. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Those are all Greek names. So clearly they wanted to be sure that there were not going to be racial shenanigans if that was indeed the case again. And so the apostles, it says, laid hands on them, and they commissioned them, and they took care of the care ministry, making sure that people had what they needed. While the deacons did that, the apostles continued to preach, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly. The church works well when everybody does their part. So, what is the takeaway for us at Langford? Should we establish a formal deacon's ministry at Langford? I'd be open to having that conversation. But to be honest, I really think that the LCW and the missions team are doing the work of deacons right now. And I'll tell you, it was so encouraging to me to be working on this message on Thursday, knowing that, you know, Joyce and Mary were out at the church and all of you were making food and getting it together to go. That is this passage in real life. So what's the takeaway? Well, I think that I would put it like this. We all share in the work of ministry, but we all have different work. Right? All of us share in the work of ministry as a church, but each of us have different work. Preaching and serving and teaching and greeting and keeping up the building and giving money and doing dishes and sending cards. These are all very important ministries. That is the work of ministry. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to be doing ministry. You know, the church would falter if I was the only one doing the work of ministry. We all share in it. We all share in the building up of the church to maturity. We all share in the work of ministry, but we all do different work. Right? It would not benefit the church at all for me to dip my fingers into the accounting services. And what's more, it would actually take me away from doing the thing that I need to do. And God has put together this church just the way that he wants, so that we will fulfill the role that he has for us as a church. You know, he has given us people who are gifted in taking care of the building and financial stuff, in cooking and giving. You know, God has something for you to do in this congregation that is unique to you. So as we together make the word our primary focus, we will serve together and take care of each other. We all share in the work of ministry, but we all have different work. Let's pray. God, thank you that we each have a part. And there is not one part that's more significant than the others. There is not one part that is lesser than the others. Lord, we all do ministry. We all have a responsibility to care for one another. You know, in a very real way, teaching and serving are not mutually exclusive. I mean, Paul was a great servant. I want to be a great servant. Stephen, who was named one of the deacons, goes on to give one of the most eloquent speeches in the whole of the New Testament. Lord, we pray as a church that you would help us to organize ourselves around your word. We pray that you would help us to treasure the Bible as your word to us that gives us life and purpose and direction. God, I pray that you would help me as I open it up to teach. God, I rely on you to make what I do useful to your people. And I pray that as I do my part, that we would each be inspired to do our part, that we would serve one another, that we would take care of each other. God, I am grateful, so grateful that Langford understands this deeply. Taking care of one another is a part of our DNA. And it is a great privilege to be able to serve this church because of that. God, I pray that you would help us to guard against cliques. I pray that you would help us to take the bull by the horns when conflicts happen and help us to come to good solutions. And I pray that you would take care of us I pray that you would help us to take care of each other because I know that you care deeply for each of us. Lord, thank you for your unfailing love and your faithfulness to us as a church. Help us to be a church that is honoring to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.